This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Welcome to Technology Translated. I'm your host, Scott Ellis, and my guest today is the one and only John Loomer. You probably know John for his Facebook marketing expertise. He has been marketing on Facebook and using the platform for business for over 8 years, which in online terms is a lifetime. This interview is an absolute goldmine of great information for anyone who uses Facebook for business. In his usual form, John completely overdelivers on expectations, but I think you'll also find that John has a fun, fresh perspective on using Facebook for marketing and helps tie it into good old-fashioned marketing fundamentals. But we're also going to dig deep and talk about a couple of aspects of Facebook marketing that are underutilized by most brands. And John is going to tell us a story about how he used Facebook to build his mailing list in a campaign that had a 92% conversion rate. I am not kidding. I am not making that up. And when you hear how he did it, it'll make total sense. So let's dig in and hear about it from John. All right, John, thank you very much for joining me today and welcome to Technology Translated.
Thanks so much for having me, Scott.
Good to have you here. When I was reading your bio, it says that you've been pretty focused, it sounds like, on social media in general, but particularly Facebook for about 5 years, maybe a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah. That's an old bio. So that's going back to, it's 8 years. So back to 2007. So essentially, I was first exposed to Facebook when I was working at the National Basketball Association. And this is so far back that it was before Pages, it was before you could create your own app. So the NBA actually partnered with Facebook to create an application that was based off of their March Madness applications they did for college kids. And this was right after it opened up to the old folks on Facebook. And so I've been using Facebook then ever since then. But my first exposure is also from a business perspective. So.
Oh, very good. It doesn't sound that long ago, but oh my, how things have changed.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They've evolved quite a bit. So with respect to that, how would you, since you've had so much experience and you've been looking at Facebook from a business standpoint for so long, how would you describe the current state of Facebook business pages? And I'm thinking about things in terms of how much reach they actually can achieve and engagement and just how effective really are they for businesses?
I think they're great. If you know what you're doing and you have reasonable expectations, you have to understand first that in order for Facebook as a platform to be effective, so in order for it to be a place that people actually want to go, they need to see content that they want to see. And so you have to understand that you are not going to be their first priority. So to expect that, I think, is crazy and delusional. So from there, Facebook is, I think, the only company platform that lets you know what your reach is. So as a result, when reach was really, really high, everybody had these expectations that they're going to reach 50% of the people with each post. But in reality, when you throw that tweet out there, how many people are reading that tweet? It's probably less than 1%. Of your audience. So the fact that we still to this day freak out about that, I think is ridiculous. But the main point being is there's absolutely a place for brands still within the Facebook world. If you understand what your place is, and it's not just sitting there selling to them all day, you can still make a huge positive impact on your business using Facebook now and into the future.
Yeah, I love that. Is a great perspective from which to cue up the rest of the conversation, and that is around reasonable expectations. I certainly know from the experience I've had with a number of my clients that people often have very inflated expectations of any platform, whether it's just what SEO is going to do for them or what their Facebook reach is going to be. Yeah. And couching that and bringing that back down to earth is the challenge that we have sometimes.
Absolutely. And the thing is, if you do it right, I mean, some brands get great reach. If you build your audience the right way, if you create content that they actually want to see, that's helpful and engaging, the algorithm, which, you know, I don't really like talking about the algorithm because then people start talking about trying to game it, but it works for you. Because if you look at it in its purest sense, again, Facebook benefits from users seeing the content that they want to see most that keeps them on Facebook. They don't care whether it's from a user or from a brand. Now, brands are notoriously boring, right? So yes, that is, so in reality, you're going to be further down the chain. But those brands that have figured it out have built their audience the right way of people who actually do care about them, specifically, you know, those who have visited their website. They create content that they want to see. They're not just selling to them all day. They still reach a very high percentage of their fans. I might say very high. I'm not talking about 100% all the time, but I'm just a lot. I mean, when you share stuff to your friends, you don't reach 100% of your friends. You probably don't reach 50% of them. And it's again, expectations.
Yeah, very good. So you mentioned a couple of times, talked about building your audience the right way. Mm-hmm. So for a brand, particularly maybe a smaller brand that is just getting going or is really only starting to utilize Facebook as a platform for marketing their business, let's talk about some of the things you've seen people do that are not building their audience the right way. And what sort of an approach do you try to guide people towards in terms of recommending how to build that audience?
Yeah. So let's think about, for example, again, remembering the importance of showing content to people that they want to see and they want to engage with. Because otherwise, if it's boring to them, Facebook's going to stop showing it to them. So if you build your audience through contests primarily, for example, if you build your audience through running really, really cheap ads, meaning you're targeting really cheap countries using tricks to get them to like your page, as opposed to making sure you're reaching people who already know you, maybe they're on your email list or they visit your website, and being upfront about, you know, what the value it is that you're going to provide to them. So if you built your audience through tricks and cheap likes, buying likes, contests, that kind of stuff, you're going to fail. Of course, you're not going to reach anybody in that case. If you build your audience by focusing on the top of the priority, the targeting priority list, and working your way down. So your website visitors, targeting your email list, targeting your lookalikes. So basically Facebook looking at your website visitors, your fans, your email list, and finding people similar to them, making sure you're focusing on the right countries, and then working down to interest. I mean, interest should be your last resort. But ultimately, part of your strategy in building this audience, your two main, really three main audiences I want you to be building at the same time, it's your website traffic, it's your email list, and it's your fan base. Really, the starting point isn't necessarily the page like ad. Okay, the starting point is creating really helpful, useful content that people want to read that's on your website. Because that's a very low, light action. There's no commitment from anybody, and you're looking to help them, not looking to sell anything or even get an email address. It's like, I have a feeling that this is something that's going to interest you based on an interest or something like that. Go check it out. You know, read this article. What do you think? So when they visit your website, that's now they've seen what you're all about, that you're helping people, that, oh yeah, that's good stuff. I'll recognize that brand, whoever that is. So now, if you want to promote another blog post, you're going to target those people who have been to your site before. You're going to start building your email list. You're going to start targeting those people who have visited your site before. If you want to build your fan base, you're going to start targeting these people who have been to your site before. That's honestly, I think, the foundation, the most important audience that you can build is your website traffic, because then you can remarket to them for all these other different things, including selling.
Okay, awesome. That segued perfectly into the next question that I wanted to ask you, and that is, are we talking about remarketing, which is a concept in and of itself, and maybe we'll explain what that is more in a minute, but is that kind of what you're describing? So I know somebody's been to my site before, now they're on Facebook, so I want them to see something from me or about me on Facebook as a way of hopefully encouraging them to come over, gain familiarity, maybe like my page.
Correct. So you've got a pixel on your website, which is a little snippet of code. So it's on every page of your site. So Facebook knows when someone has been to your site. And then based on when they visited, what page they visited, Facebook can create audiences for you of people that you can target later with Facebook ads.
Okay, awesome. And we're not going to go too deep into the technical details of that. I'm going to just encourage people to come out to your site, and I'll be linking that up in the show notes to learn more. But this is where we get into the translated part. So just to make sure people are clear, that the retargeting is that pixel is really just a snippet of code that we get from Facebook that's associated with our brand or our page, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it's associated with your advertising account. And you put it on your website, correct?
Yeah, and then that way, if somebody visits your site, Facebook sees that they've been to your site, and then when they're on Facebook, says, okay, they've been to John Loomer's site before, so now I'm going to show them some content from John Loomer. Is that content that they're seeing an ad that you are running as well,
correct,
against that person who's been pixeled, as they say?
Right, so now you can create ads targeting people who have been to your site generally. Or you can even craft an ad targeting people who visited a related article. So let's say you wrote an article, a helpful article, and a how-to article about something related to one of your products. So they've read that article, which means they're probably a really good bet to be interested in your product. So you're going to target those people who visited that blog post with the ad to sell that related product as well.
Excellent. Do you see a significantly higher engagement rate, or at least like rate, whatever the metric is, through retargeting as opposed to just raw page like ads or something of that sort?
So basically the comparison would be targeting people who don't know you, like through interests, versus targeting people who've been to your website. The difference is huge, absolutely. So it just makes sense. I mean, when you see content in your newsfeed from somebody you know, it could just be a blog post. I was like, oh yeah, they have great stuff. I read it before. Here's another blog post. You can have a great title, but a lot of times, like, I don't know who that is. So, but it goes from simple light actions like that to liking a page. Like, why am I going to like this person's page? I've never heard of them before. No idea what this is all about. But no, I've been to their website. Oh yeah, they're awesome. They know what they're talking about. Good, looks like a good product. Or they got an opt-in, or they've got, you know, a product. The people who actually have been to your site, you've built some trust with that content, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and that does completely make sense. That familiarity has to be a huge boon in terms of getting people to engage with you more regularly or in a way that you want them to.
You bet.
Any other aspects of Facebook marketing that we're not possibly using enough? Anything new or just things that Facebook has offered us as a tool but often get overlooked? I know retargeting is one of them. Some people I see use it exceedingly well. I've seen a lot of your stuff on Facebook. Others I know are completely unfamiliar with the concept, so hopefully they're going to learn something from this episode. But anything else out there you'd like to throw at us to at least think about or go look into?
I mean, that's absolutely the biggest one, is using website custom audiences, but building that audience that you can then target a very relevant audience. Other tools that maybe aren't used enough. I mean, I use Power Editor to create all my ads as opposed to just clicking that boost button. You have way more control over the people you're targeting and the stuff that you're doing. Additionally, there's a nice little tool within Facebook called Audience Insights that helps you break down who the people are who either like your page or are on your email list or who have visited your site or an interest to see if they're people you should be targeting. So for example, I've got this website custom audience of all the people who visited my website over the last 180 days, put it into this tool called Audience Insights on Facebook. And it breaks down how many are men, how many are women, what ages they are, what job titles they have, how much money they make on average, what kind of things that they buy, what kind of pages they like. So I learn all these things about them to help me learn, you know, how I should approach them, you know, based on those things. But additionally, if I ever want to go outside of that audience, I could start basing it on a lot of these things that I'm learning about my audience.
And that makes a lot of sense. In last week's episode, I interviewed Aaron Strout, and He had a very good perspective on mobility and mobile first. But throughout that discussion, one of the things we kept coming back to was that a lot of these things are still just good basic marketing fundamentals that are applied to a particular context like Facebook. And knowing your audience is the kind of thing that we talk about a lot. And I think sometimes people get hung up on how to know their audience. But at least in terms of some specific demographics, some hard metrics, Facebook gives us a lot of that.
They give us a lot, right? And again, it's all privacy protected. So you're not looking at individual people. You're looking at a large, and actually they don't give you anything unless you have an audience of at least 1,000 people. But so not only can you learn more about your own audience, but let's say you've been targeting people by an interest. So it's, you know, for my purposes, I'm targeting people who like the Social Media Examiner Facebook page, for example, or have that interest. I can decide whether or not that makes, if that's a smart move, by breaking them down, that audience down within Audience Insights to see if they're, you know, the age group and gender and the countries they're from and the other pages they like, if all that stuff is consistent with my own audience.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's a good insight for people to go take advantage of. I want to get into one fairly specific thing here, because I'll admit this is something that trips me up a little bit, and I'm sure it does others as well. I want to build the audience that we talked about in the beginning of site visitors, but also my email list.
Mm-hmm.
And on some of the things that I do on Facebook, we've got a pretty good audience on Facebook, have not done an effective job of actually converting people from a Facebook fan, if you will, to somebody that subscribes to the email list. We know the email list is super important and super valuable, but how do I get people to come over or make that conversion?
Well, so again, it's, I mean, primarily ads, right? I mean, you can share this stuff organically through Facebook and you'll make a limited impact, but ultimately it's the ads as well and targeting the right people. So when I have an opt-in, on which I always have something, I'm targeting primarily my website visitors and my fans. Focusing so much on content does two things. First of all, by driving a lot of people to my site, there are lots of opportunities for people to be coming to my site and opting into my email list. So whether or not that was the main reason they went there or not. But the second thing is, when I'm targeting people who already know me for that opt-in. And as a result, it's way cheaper. I mean, I get opt-ins, so an email address, on average, between 50 cents and a dollar. Whereas if you're going to target people who don't know you, expect to pay oftentimes way more than that. It all depends on the situation. But give you a really, really extreme example of this. And I'll try not to get too in the weeds on this. But I ran an experiment to start the year for 2 months where people essentially opted into my ad. Like, I'm going to show you exclusive content that you can't get anywhere else, but I'm only going to serve them via ads. If you want to see this stuff, just click this link. So they don't have to provide an email address. Just click this link. And that's all done with remarketing again. So they went to a certain page. So then they're shown my first tip. If they click that first tip, they're shown the second one, and so on and so forth. So to give an example of the power of targeting the right people who actually want to see your stuff and how that changes your costs, anyone who made it through 12 tips, I then invited them to a webinar. So this is the first time I actually asked for an email address. I invited them to a webinar to basically go through what I did with this experiment and the results and how they could do it too. So that final group of people who made it through 12 tips, that was 900 people. So I targeted those 900 people. I got 833 opt-ins, so registrations at 5 cents a registration.
Wow.
It's ridiculous, right?
It's an insane conversion rate.
And I completely understand people hear that and they're like, you're lying, because it sounds ridiculous. But when you think about the process that led there and the engagement rate that got people to that, like, they had to jump through so many hoops just to get that invitation. It makes sense. Point being, yeah, I'm not going to be able to get 5 cent registrations all the time, but it's clear proof of how important it is that you're just targeting the right people in the first place who actually care about this and want to be involved.
Thank you for that use case or that case study, because I grabbed two important things out of that I hope people take away when they listen to this interview. And that is, one, the process that you went through filtered out a lot of people by the time they got to the end, which is part of the reason that conversion rate was so high.
Yes.
But also because by the time they got to step 12, you have already exceeded expectations. You have provided a tremendous amount of value before you ever asked for anything in return. So people are going to be far more likely to say, oh, yeah, of course I'm going to give you my email address. Let's go.
Right.
I mean, that is – you have done right by them almost in excess. But again, this is going back to those fundamental marketing things, right? Provide value first before you just reach out and start asking for stuff. And that's a great example of that in action and working. So thank you for that.
You bet. Yeah, and there's a ton of filtering there. I think a lot of times we think, oh, all we need to do is get them to click that link. That shows how interested they are. Well, in reality, when I first invited people into this experiment, 4,500 people clicked on it to say, yeah, I want to participate. Well, only 2,500 of those 4,500 clicked on the first tip. So the first so 2,000 of that first group basically said, no, never mind. You know, basically one-fifth of the original audience made it all the way through. So that was serious filtering. But one purpose of that was I'm trying to zero in on the people who are my people, and that's them. So not only am I going to invite them to this webinar, but in that webinar, at the end of that webinar, I'm going to give them this great deal on my private membership that you can't get anywhere else. And because I want to make sure I get that type of person into that membership, even though I invested $3,500 into this campaign that seemed like it could easily be a waste of money because all I was doing was just giving away info. I wasn't even collecting email addresses, anything until the very end. I ended up selling 38 memberships in addition to collecting all those email addresses. The ebook that came out of that has resulted in more than 30,000 email. I mean, so it's playing the long game essentially, as opposed to just going straight to getting an opt-in or getting that sale right now, targeting people who don't know you.
I am such a fan of the long-term thinking approach. I just want to say that is how it's done. If you're trying to actually build a business,
yeah,
that is how it's done. So this is fantastic. All right. We are getting close to the end of our time for conversation here, but I want to go out with this. And that is, if you could give one or two pieces of advice to somebody that is just starting out marketing their business on Facebook, what would they be?
The first would be look at it from the perspective of a user. What value can you provide them? So, I mean, whether you're talking about ads or regular content, whatever it be, do that first. Because if your goals are all about how am I going to make money right now, your priorities aren't in line. Now, eventually you want to make money, yes. But if you want users to actually engage with your stuff to result in revenue, that can't be the order of your priorities. So that's the first thing. Second is, build that audience of people who know you by driving traffic, all right? So you've got to focus long-term on people who are most likely to want to read that next blog post, who are most likely to opt in or buy something from you. So driving traffic, creating a lot of helpful, useful content that answers people's questions needs to be at the top of your list.
Love it. Thank you so much for that, John. Really, really appreciate your time today. This has been a lot of fun and very insightful. I can't believe it's already been 25 minutes. It's zipped by.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Scott.
You bet. Thanks again. Technology Translated is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.